number 19, number 13.
Mr. George Ray, Reel 13. You were telling us about how you came to leave that hospital.
Yes. Well, how we came to leave it. We're having tea. It was tea time. And nurse said to Carr, Carr, you haven't drank your tea. And he said, didn't call it yams. Now, in English, that means don't call it names. But in Durham, didn't call it yams, you see. Just rough talk. And because she didn't understand that. So she was looking at me, and I repeated what he had said. Just at that time, the sister came in and asked what things were about it. And she must have heard me saying, didn't call it yams. But I wasn't the culprit. I'm only interpreting. But she thought I was saying that really in earnest about the tea. But it was what the nurse wanted to know. Right, she said, the pair of you, this is both Carr and me, evacuation tomorrow, you go out tomorrow. Right. So we went out, and we were taken out in a private car by a lady, and there was a sergeant major. And you know how the troops loved sergeant majors, you see. So this chap Carr, he was in the centre of the three of us, you see. And this lady called in a shop in Newcastle. We were going to a place called Roadheath, Scholar Green, if ever you up that area. That was the name, a gentleman's residence that we went to there. But she stopped in this shop, it was their own business, and went inside and came out with one of these fancy packets of chocolates and threw them in through the window, and they landed on the lap of the sergeant major, and before he could think of what was happening, Carr pinched them off his and dished them out to the three of us, you see. So, anyway, we got into his home, and we were fed there like fighting cocks. I must have had there a good fortnight or 3 weeks there. And then from there, whilst there, they ran a beautiful bowling green, and I had the beginner's luck. I won a walking stick, and I knocked the sergeant major out in the final. To get this, that was very, very funny. The same man that had come with me in the car, you know, with Carr. But after that, I went to Blackpool. And I was at Blackpool for a while.
Convalescing?
Yeah, convalescing. Now, I met a man there that was had difficulty with him, and he had shell shock. We used to waken them up through the night, talking and in his sleep, or supposedly, and some of them were really scared. And I, oh, one lad, we were all young fellas, and one fella, he said, oh, he said, I'm not going to sleep there. I said, and I'm sleeping at the other end of the room. I said, Dad, so Dad, go and sleep there. And so I thought, now, this case of shell shock, it's just a question. Not going along with them, but, you know, showing that you're not scared, because they got the idea, I think, that if they could frighten you, that was part of their stock and trade, you see, to keep themselves from going back into the army. And I went up there, I slept with that fellow. I slept in that bed next to him, and he started. I said, now, this is through the night. And no more of that. Not having that. I said, just pipe down. You know. And between you and me and the guidepost, I was a little bit scared myself. I don't kid on the ones. Because when you're in bed, you're, you know, anybody can give you a swipe. But I put on my best non-commissioned officer's sort of. You know, and that was that. I went from there on leave.
Did he pipe down?
Oh, yeah, no trouble at all. Do you know what it was causing it? There was a field outside, and this is at Squire's Gate in Blackpool. There was a field, and there were horses in there. You know, these big draft horses. And sometimes they used to go through the night, jerk there, you know, woo, just galloping round, summertime. And that used to scare him a bit. And I think that's what this is. The others were too tired to worry about the horses. But when he was inside that hut, they used to say, throw a bucket of water over them. Throw a bucket of water on. They were scared stiff because they were sleeping ever so far away from him, you see. But that quietened down, no trouble at all. Anyway, after Blackpool, on leave again, sick leave. Oh, by the way, I should tell you that when I got into that hospital first, that night, the first thing they did was to come and take my temperature. And that's normal. Yeah, even after travelling, all the travelling and the knocking about. Just the idea of getting back, I think, mainly, into the different, you know, homely surroundings. However, to come back to the point, I was sick leave, about 7 days, or 10 days, I'm not sure which. I went from there to Luggershall, and that was an army camp. And from Luggershall to it was then that the armistice came along.
So you'd be going to Luggershall round about November, would you?
Yeah. And then from there to Aldershot. And when I went to Aldershot, it was to Aldershot I went from leave. I've been on another occasion in Luggershall. It was to Aldershot I went from being on leave. Because what was rather rare, our details had been taken over really by the army from Blandford, and had been deposited, so to speak, in Aldershot. So I went to Aldershot, and we were checking, being checked in. and the two men from our own units, you know. But I discovered that they'd joined up much after me. But what really surprised me, they weren't speaking they were disparaging the efforts of the men who were recording, you know, in from leave, because there were men who had been conscripts and latter-day people joining up, you see. In fact, there were conscripts, and when they came to me, and I just gave them my number, KP588, and they were so astounded, both of them dropped their pens and looked at each other and looked at me. Didn't think that there would be any more of you people left. And they said, and if you go to so-and-so, and this was the name of Talavera Barracks in Aldershot, you will find a company sergeant major, and he is the only one like you, KP5, that number. And that was what we were given at Crystal Palace. And I went and found this chap out, and he was as pleased as punch. But that, from then, that was my finish, eventually.
You were demobilised from Aldershot,
weren't you? Yeah. I went home.
Did you go back into the mines?
Yes.
You got back.
I did, yeah.
Had the war... What did you think the war had done for you? Was it a sort of positive or a negative thing for you? What did you feel about the war?
Negative? I wouldn't... Yeah. Well... It's hard, really, to describe. I had the feeling that I didn't want to be knocking about. I wanted to be... back home, because fed up with I suppose it was the conditions, really. I had a brother-in-law who was in the Peninsula Steam Navigation Company, used to sail from Liverpool to South America, the River Plate and thereabouts. And he said to me, he asked me what I was going to do, and I said, oh, I was going back to Pitts. Back. And he thought I was a fool. Well, no harm in thinking that. But I mean, I'd had plenty of knocking about, I thought. I'd rather be back home, you see. Incidentally, there's one good joke. My belongings went from Blandford when we went overseas. And I left all my belongings, the same as scores of other men, in a big kit bag. And they went home, and the man at the station who delivered all these things, you see, carrier, he went on the Monday morning to deliver to my home this kit bag. My mother said, oh, is he coming home? Oh, he said, yes, he's coming home. I didn't come home for 18 months. She packed up washing that day. She packed up the washing because she understood I was coming home that day, you see. But he only said, yes, he's coming home. But this year, next year, sometime, never. Anyway, that's just by the way. But he came back to this, we were talking about the...
Whether it was a good experience or a bad experience.
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, he wanted me to go with him, you see, or see if he could get me away to sea. No. So he said, right, he said, well, don't bother to ask me again. So that was that. And fortunately, I did ask him again. But that was 1924, I applied for a job in Australia as a gardener in Melbourne. And I was accepted, only I had to see our local police surgeon, Dr. McAllister. No, Dr. McCullough. McAllister's here. Dr. McCullough. So I didn't go to see Dr. McCullough, but on the post, the same post as that application was replied to, I also got a reply from my brother-in-law, and he was up in Glasgow. And he said that a certain ship, the Anchises, was leaving Liverpool on November, the 8th of November, 1924. If I was down there, he would try and get me away to sea. So I left the cold face one weekend, and believe it or not, a fortnight afterwards, I was sailing away to Australia. And I made two trips to Australia. I didn't like Australia. Still, I didn't like it because in any case, my wife-to-be, you see, was at home, and of course that would have meant a separation, goodness knows how long. However, I came, I changed from Australian, the Australian run, to the China run. And I did about 38 runs from Liverpool to China and Japan and back to London and so on, right round the coast and away again. So that was that.
Thank you very much.